Section 4. European Cultures. A European Story. In 1095, Pope Urban II, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, was a worried man. The Holy Land, the birthplace of Christianity, was in the hands of Muslims, who Urban feared would no longer allow Christians access to holy religious sites. To meet this threat, Urban organized a great meeting of Christians in Clermont, France. On November 18th, before a huge outdoor crowd of bishops, knights, and common people, Urban made an impassioned speech, calling on Europeans to seize control of Christianity's holiest sites by armed conquest. A cleric known as Robert the Monk recorded the Pope's speech in these words: "Jerusalem is the navel of the world. This is the land which the Redeemer of mankind illuminated by his coming, adorned by his life, consecrated by his passion, redeemed by his death, and sealed by his burial. This royal city, situated in the middle of the world, is now held captive by his enemies. It looks for help from you, especially, because God has bestowed glory in your arms upon you more than on any other nation. Undertake this journey, therefore, for the remission of your sins, with the assurance of glory which cannot fade in the kingdom of heaven." Quoted in The Discoverers. European Society. Pope Urban II's call to arms launched nearly two centuries of armed struggle to regain the Holy Land. These expeditions were called the Crusades, from the Latin word crux, meaning cross. The Crusades helped pry Western Europe out of centuries of isolation and triggered a series of events that revolutionized European society and encouraged a new desire for exploration. For centuries, the Roman Empire had dominated much of Europe, imposing a stable social and political order. By AD 500, however, the Roman political and economic system had collapsed, isolating Western Europe from the rest of the world. Trade declined. Cities, bridges, and roads fell into disrepair. Law and order vanished, and money was no longer used. For most people, life did not extend beyond the tiny villages where they were born, lived, and died. This period, lasting roughly from 500 to 1400, is known as the Middle Ages. Feudalism. With the weakening of central government, a new political system known as feudalism developed in Western Europe. Under this system, a king would give estates to nobles in exchange for their loyalty and military support. Eventually, the nobles owning the estates became strong enough to assume many of the powers usually held by government. They raised their own armies, dispensed justice, and even minted coins. In return, the nobles swore an oath of loyalty and promised to provide knights or mounted warriors for the royal army. By 1100, feudalism had spread throughout much of Europe. Because the system lacked a strong central government, warfare occurred frequently in feudal society. As a result, most nobles built castles or fortified manor houses for defense. The manorial system. The wealth of a feudal lord came from the labor of the peasants who lived on his land. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, many peasants had worked for large landowners, in part because they could not obtain their own land, and in part for protection. A lord's manor, or estate, varied in size from several hundred to several hundred thousand acres. Each manor included the lord's house, pastures for livestock, fields for crops, forest, and a peasant village. While feudalism describes the political relationships between nobles, manorialism describes the economic ties between nobles and peasants. In return for protection, peasants provided various services for the lord. Chief among these were farming the lord's land and making various payments of goods. Warfare and bandits made trade difficult, so the manor had to produce nearly everything its residents needed. Peasants rarely left the manor. Most were serfs, people who were bound to the manor and could not leave it without permission. Serfs were not considered enslaved, however, since they could not be sold from the land where they lived and worked. Serfs typically lived in tiny one-room houses with dirt floors, a hole in the roof for a chimney, and one or two crude pieces of furniture. Coarse bread, a few vegetables, and grain for porridge made up their usual diet. They spent most of their waking hours working. Here, an English monk describes a serf's account of his day. I work very hard. I go out at dawn, driving the oxen to the field, and I yoke them to the plow. However hard the winter, I dare not stay home for fear of my master. But having yoked the oxen and made the plowshare and coulter fast to the plow, every day I have to plow a whole acre or more. Quoted in the Colloquy. An Improving Economy. The economy of Western Europe, devastated since the fall of Rome, began to improve around 1000. The invention of a better plow allowed farmers to produce more food, as did the invention of the horse collar, which allowed farmers to use horses instead of oxen. Horses could pull a plow faster than an ox, enabling farmers to plant more crops each year. The ability of many villages to produce a surplus of food helped to revive trade in Europe and encourage the growth of towns. Some European rulers succeeded in building strong central governments. Warfare and raids by bandits decreased, and roads were soon filled with traders carrying goods to market. The number of towns in Western Europe grew tremendously between 1,000 and 12,000. The Church. The Roman Catholic Church struggled mightily against the social and political fragmentation of Europe that followed the fall of Rome. In the face of civil chaos and personal insecurity, it promoted stability and order. It had its own laws and courts that dealt with cases related to the clergy, doctrine, marriage, and morals. Disobedience to church laws resulted in severe penalties for common persons and rulers alike, including excommunication for those who committed grave offenses. Excommunication barred people from participating in church rites. They also lost political and legal rights. Reading check. Describing. What was the social order in Europe during the Middle Ages? Expanding horizons. Pope Urban II's call for Christians to free their religion's holy places from the Muslims launched a period of profound change in Europe. The Crusades helped change Western European society by bringing Western Europeans into contact with the Muslim and Byzantine civilizations of Eastern Europe and the Middle East. The Western European presence in this region heightened demand at home for Eastern luxury goods, spices, sugar, melons, tapestries, silk, and other items. Trade increased in the Eastern Mediterranean area, and especially benefited Italian cities such as Venice, Pisa, and Genoa. By 1200, Italian and Arab merchants controlled much of the trade in the Eastern Mediterranean. Chinese and Indian traders sold silk, spices, and other goods to Arab merchants, who then moved the goods overland to the Mediterranean coast, where they reaped huge profits selling the goods to Italian merchants. As trade increased, merchants found that many Arab traders would only accept money in payment. European merchants, therefore, needed a common medium of exchange, and this led to the rise of an economy based on money. The increasing demand for gold from Africa to make gold coins during the 1200s was a direct result of Europe's expanding trade with Asia. The rise of the Mongol Empire in the 1200s helped to increase the flow of goods from China and other parts of Asia. Mongol horsemen swept out of Central Asia in the early part of the century and built one of the largest empires in world history. The Mongol conquest integrated much of Asia's economy. It broke down trade barriers, opened borders, and secured the roads against bandits, encouraging even more trade between Asia and Europe. By the 1300s, Europe was importing vast quantities of spices, silks, and other goods from Asia. To the frustration of European merchants, however, the Mongol Empire collapsed in the 1300s, and Asia again separated into dozens of independent kingdoms and empires. The flow of goods from Asia declined, and the price of spices, already very high, rose even more. Increasingly, European merchants and rulers began to look for a route to Asia that bypassed the Muslim kingdoms. If they could not reach China by land, they thought, perhaps they could reach it by sea. Reading check. Summarizing. Describe the effects of the Crusades on Europe. New states, new technology. The wealth that could be earned by trading directly with Asia had given Europeans a compelling motive to begin exploring the world. Before the 1300s, however, Western European rulers and merchants did not have the ability to look for a direct sea route to Asia. Feudalism had created a society so fragmented and torn by war that no Western European kingdom had the wealth to finance exploration and overseas trade. Western Europeans also lacked the technology to even attempt to reach China by sea. Beginning in the 1300s, however, a number of major changes took place in Europe that enabled the Europeans to begin sending ships into the Atlantic Ocean in search of a water route to China. Government. Strong states emerge. Western Europeans began exploring the world in the 1400s and 1500s for several reasons. First of all, feudalism was in decline. Both the Crusades and trade with Asia had helped to weaken this system. The rise of towns and merchants had provided kings and queens with a new source of wealth they could tax. They could now use their armed forces to open up and protect trade routes and to enforce uniform trade laws and a common currency within their kingdoms. Merchants who stood to benefit as well from increased trade loaned money to monarchs to further finance their operations. The revenue from trade meant that European rulers did not have to rely as much upon the nobility for support. Increasingly, Western European monarchs asserted their power over the nobles. They began to unify their kingdoms and create strong central governments. By the mid-1400s, four strong states, Portugal, Spain, England, and France, had emerged in Western Europe. Starting with Portugal in the early 1400s, all four began financing voyages of exploration in the hope of expanding their trade and national power. The Renaissance spurs discoveries. The political and economic changes that encouraged Western Europeans to begin exploring the world would not have mattered had they not had the technology necessary to launch their expeditions. Fortunately, at about the same time that new unified kingdoms were emerging in Western Europe, an intellectual revolution known as the Renaissance began as well. This period began around A.D. 1350 and lasted until around 1600. Renaissance is a French word that means rebirth. In this case, it referred to a rebirth of interest in the culture of ancient Greece and Rome. European scholars rediscovered the works of Greek and Roman philosophers, geographers, and mathematicians. They also began to read works by Arab scholars. The Renaissance started with a renewed interest in the past, but it quickly became much more. The Renaissance not only produced spectacular works of art, it also marked a renewed commitment to learning and helped to trigger a scientific revolution. New technology. If Western Europeans were going to find a water route to Asia, they needed navigational instruments that would enable sailors to travel out of sight of land and still find their way home. They also required ships capable of long-distance travel across the ocean. By the early 1400s, Europeans had acquired these technologies. By studying Arab texts, Western Europeans learned about the astrolabe, a device invented by the ancient Greeks and refined by Arab navigators. An astrolabe uses the position of the sun to determine direction, latitude, and local time. Europeans also acquired the compass from Arab traders. Invented in China, this device reliably showed the direction of magnetic north. Navigational instruments were important to exploring the world, but not as essential as ships and sails capable of long-distance travel. Late in the 1400s, European shipwrights began to outfit ships with triangle-shaped lateen sails, perfected by Arab traders. These sails made it possible for ships to sail against the wind. Shipwrights also stopped using a single mast with one large sail. Multiple masts with several smaller sails hoisted one above the other made ships travel much faster. In addition, moving the rudder from the side to the stern made ships easier to steer. In the 1400s, a Portuguese ship called the Caravel incorporated all these improvements. A caravel was a small vessel capable of carrying about 130 tons, or 118 metric tons of cargo. Because a caravel needed little water to sail, it allowed explorers to venture up shallow inlets and to beach the ships to make repairs. Caravels and ships with similar technology finally enabled Europe to explore the world. Reading check. Examining. What political and technological developments made it possible for Europeans to begin exploring the world? Portuguese exploration. Sailing their caravels, Portuguese explorers became the first Europeans to find a sea route to Asia. In 1419, Prince Henry of Portugal, known as Henry the Navigator, set up a center for astronomical and geographical studies at Sagres on Portugal's southwestern tip. He invited mapmakers, astronomers, and shipbuilders from throughout the Mediterranean world to come there to study and plan voyages of exploration. Beginning in 1420, Portuguese captains began mapping Africa's west coast. Portuguese explorers discovered the Azores, the Madeira Islands, and Cape Verde. In 1488, a Portuguese ship commanded by Bartolomeu Dias reached the southern tip of Africa, later named the Cape of Good Hope. 9 years later, four ships commanded by Vasco da Gama sailed from Portugal, rounded Africa, and then headed across to India and landed on India's southwest coast. A water route to Eastern Asia had been found. Reading check. Describing. How did Henry the Navigator help encourage exploration?